good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder, if you live in Waukesha or you're in the Waukesha area, our street team going to be out at the Les Paul Performance Center in Cutler Park tonight to kick off Tribute Tuesday concerts. Tonight, it's Justified, a Justin Timberlake tribute. The music starts at 7 o'clock, goes till 9 p.m. Concessions start 5:30 tonight, Tuesday, July 9th. Again, the Les Paul Performance Center in Cutler Park tonight, kicking off Tribute Tuesday concert series with Justified, a Justin Timberlake tribute.
Bring your own booze.
Bring your BYOB. And I have a feeling our own Johnny Watermelon will probably be out there tonight for that. So if you can, it should be a nice night. Head out there. I'm very excited to have our next guest joining us. Melissa Pyrick is the Director of Marketing and Community Relations for the Ice Age Trail Alliance, and she joins us now on the phone. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me. Always exciting to be able to talk trail with people.
Let's talk trail. First of all, Melissa, for people who are not very familiar with the Ice Age Trail, where does it wind through?
So the Ice Age Trail is a 1,200-mile footpath. It either begins or ends in St. Croix Falls at Interstate State Park, and then it drops kind of, it travels east for a while, then drops through the center of the state, and goes as far south as Janesville, and then turns up toward Pottawatomie State Park in Sturgeon Bay, where its western terminus is.
Wow.
Wow.
So that you're really getting a big view of a lot of different regions of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know, I just was talking to some through hikers last week, and they were coming through, and they started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this the North Woods, which is very rural and rustic and, you know, kind of what you think of like, you know, like far out hiking. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful. And they're like, it's almost really two different trails. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes the trail great. Because, you know, once you start going up on the East Coast, I mean, there's a 10-mile stretch where you're walking along the lake and it looks like the ocean. And it's the trail is just, it's amazing in its diversity.
That sounds spectacular.
Yeah.
Just, can I just do that part?
Yes. I've been actually saving that hike for like the perfect day. I don't want it to be cold. I don't want it to be buggy. Mm-hmm. I want it to be nice and sunny so I can take my shoes off and walk in the sand.
Or otherwise, a beautiful fall day too would be incredible.
Yep. I mean, October is the best month to hike the trail. It is so gorgeous out there. And, you know, the mark of a trail is a yellow blaze, right? We always say October is the time when you can get lost because those yellow blazes blend in so well with all of the leaves and everything on the ground. It's so spectacular. And this is why, you know, we have people that hike the trail repeatedly. And they do it because it's always a different experience. You know, they try and hike the segments in different seasons, different conditions. And it's always just something new.
And that's one of the things, you know, we reached out to you to talk about the Ice Age Trail because we saw an article in WPR or on WPR.org where they're talking about hikers becoming thousand milers in Wisconsin. Can you talk about that as well?
Yeah. So when you're a thousand miler, you are a person who has hiked every mile of the trail, including the connector route. So I'm going to back up a second. The Ice Age Trail today is about 700 miles of complete trail, blaze trail. And then the other about 500 miles are the connecting routes between segments. So it's a trail in progress and every day we're making progress and closing the gaps. But when you're a thousand miler, you commit to hiking the entire thing. So you're walking on rural highways and rural roads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we have, last time I checked, which was about a month ago, we were at about 525 people who are 1,000 milers. And 1,000 milers, you can achieve 1,000 miler status by doing a through hike. So that's, you know, like one big trip, which usually takes a couple months, or you can be a segment hiker. And the majority of people who hike the Ice Age Trail are segment hikers. So those are people who spend, you know, days, weekends, they'll go out and they'll travel to a segment, hike the segment, you know, hike the connecting route. And then maybe they go home for the, you know, night, or they'll go out the next weekend and do the next, and they just check off the segments as they go. And again, it's a really, really cool way to see the state. I know because of the trail, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin nearly all my life, and I did not realize the trail was here until 2019. And once I discovered it, I mean, the thing I kept saying to myself over and over was, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I never knew this was here. I can't believe I never knew this existed.
Yep.
Because it's taken me to just some of the most amazing places in the state.
Well, and I don't think you're alone by any stretch of the imagination, Melissa. It's like people who live in New York City who've never been to the Empire State Building. But in this case, it's less of, I never saw it. Well, I didn't see it. I didn't even, you know, it was there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, go on, Melissa.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, I mean, I would pass by signs, big brown DOT signs, mm-hmm. that say Ice Age National Scenic Trail every day.
Yeah.
And I never put it together what it was.
I was thinking the exact same thing. It's in the back of my head. I'm like, I've heard of the Ice Age Trail. Where is that? Is that in Minnesota? Is that in Canada? Where is that?
Melissa Pyrick is our guest. Yeah. She's the Director of Marketing and Community Relations for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And we're talking about the growing popularity of hikers doing the through hike. And are there, so Mike, going back to the being the 1,000 miler, do they have to document when they do these sections, or is it just on the honor system? Because if that's the case, then I did it.
Right. No, it's on the honor system, you know, but it does become a big point of pride for people, yeah, when they have accomplished it. And, you know, we like to believe that everybody has walked all of the miles. And, you know, there's plenty of through hikers. So there's this whole, like, through hiker culture, right? People who typically they'll do the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, and the Pacific Crest Trail. Those are like the big three trails. And a lot of times the through hikers won't, like, fill out their paperwork. So we have a little, like, basically you just fill out your name and address and you tell us a little bit about your experience, right? And that's kind of your testament that you completed your 1,000-miler journey. And a lot of times we'll have through hikers that don't do that, because, you know, I don't know, they don't want the recognition, don't need the recognition.
It's not important to them, yeah.
But we like having it. And it is, like I said, it's a point of pride for people. To go and look and see that they were the 479th person, or, you know, it's in the, they'll put, we have license plates now. The Ice Age Trail has, Wisconsin license plates. And so some people will put their number on the license plate.
Oh, cool.
Are those the black ones?
No, the black ones are Road America.
Okay.
Are really cool blue and yellow ones with a mammoth on them.
Ooh. Okay. I'm like, Melissa, yeah, now I have a big question for you though, Melissa. Are you a 1,000-miler?
I am not a 1,000-miler, but I am working on it.
There you go.
I am what's considered a 1,000-miler wannabe. Yep, and I'm probably, I haven't totaled up my miles lately, but I'm over 500 miles. So
that's a lot.
It is, and I start looking at, I have a big map where I'm, you know, color-coding what I've finished, and, you know, the further away the trail is, it takes a lot more effort to, you know, get there, to plan a weekend away.
Yep.
But I tell people I'm not exactly in a huge rush, because the longer it takes me, the more blazed miles there will be. So I get to see the newest and latest bits of trail.
Sherry from Horicon texting in, listening here on WAUK. I've been on the Ice Age Trail. I also live in Minnesota Junction. It was a block away. It used to be an old train route there. It just sounds like such an interesting journey. Melissa, what kind of physical shape do you need to be in? Do I have to be a marathoner in order to do something like this?
Absolutely not. You know, again, that's one of the great things about the Ice Age Trail is that there's kind of a trail for anybody. you have to be able to, you know, have mobility of some sort. But there's a lot of variation in the trail. For example, the trail that runs through Janesville, it's about, I don't know, 10 or 13 miles, and it mainly follows their municipal paths. So they're paved, and it's really nice, really easy, you know, to walk with a stroller on. And it's absolutely beautiful. You go through all these arboretums and parks. And then there's some areas, too, where there are rocks, and it's a little more, you know, treacherous, I'll say with air quotes.
Sure.
I mean, we don't have, you know, mountains or anything like, you know, you'll encounter on, say, the CDT or the Appalachian Trail. But we do have areas where the path gets narrow and there's a lot of bugs and you might have to ford a river and, you know, but it adds to the adventure of things. But we have a lot of boardwalks that are cool to hike on. I mean, there's just a lot of differences in the trail, and there's something for anybody, really.
I'm assuming, too, for people who are doing the through hike, you know, a long, long journey, they are camping the entire time, right?
Yep. And actually, camping is one of the things that makes our trail tricky. So our trail runs along all different kinds of property. So you can be on state forest property, county forest property, national forest, but then there's also a lot of private property that the trail runs through. And lots of, you know, just different types of property. And the camping, so if you're up in the like Shawinigan National Forest, you can kind of camp wherever up there. But in other areas, camping is restricted to what we call dispersed camping areas, which are specific sites. It's just a little bit of a logistical challenge. Again, I'll go to like the AT. There's about a shelter every 7 miles or so along the Appalachian Trail. That is not the case on the Ice Age Trail.
Sherry, so do you have time creative. To, Sherry, we were coming up against a break. Do you have time to, or Melissa, I'm sorry. Do you have time to stay with us for another break?
Sure.
Wonderful. Melissa Pyrick is our guest. We're talking about hiking the Ice Age Trail. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. And my name's Melissa, by the way, not Sherry. And this is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are joined by the Director of Marketing and Community Relations for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. Melissa Pyrick is here, and we're talking about hiking the Ice Age Trail, which is 1,200 miles. If you want to do the whole thing, you can break it up into different sections. I was looking at this article, Melissa, that and this is how we came to you, was through this article on WPR. You know, every trail has its challenges. And so in the Appalachian Trail, it's kind of tough terrain. The Continental Divide has grizzly bears. Do we have to worry about bears or, I don't know, elk attacks or anything if I'm going to be in certain parts of Wisconsin hiking the trail?
An elk attack, that would be something.
I don't know. It could happen.
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, there's black bears, but I've never heard of anybody getting attacked by a black bear. The worst I've heard is that there was a through hiker and they were camping and they heard a black bear eat a fawn right near their tent site. So
that's not going to cause problems.
I've ever heard. All right.
Oh my
but
goodness.
I mean, we do, you know, encourage people to follow, you know, bear safety, hang your bag, your food up. But no, there's not really anything too dangerous. Ticks, they're probably, you know, the most threatening thing if you get bit by a tick. But you do find porcupines along the trail, which is really cool.
I bet.
If you've ever seen a porcupine climbing a tree, a tree. That's fun. And you get to walk along beaver dams. So, you know, you will experience wildlife. I was chased by a wild turkey. About the extent of it.
We were talking about crazy attack turkeys not too long ago, or was it geese? We were talking about attack geese. That does happen. And it's good to know that we don't have to worry about elk attacks or bear attacks. But I think you make a really good point about people storing their food, because it's not just bears you have to worry about. It's other creatures. It's raccoons, too.
Oh, well, raccoons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're pretty lucky, right? We're not the Florida Trails, so we don't have to, like, worry about alligators or snakes or anything like that. Just have to deal with mosquitoes and ticks. Really, that's like the worst part of hiking in the middle of summer. But So another fun thing that, you know, I know we're talking about hiking, but another, you know, the Ice Age Trail Alliance is the volunteer-based organization that actually coordinates the volunteers who build and create the trail. And so that's kind of a fun thing. I don't think people always realize, you know, trails don't just happen. They are built.
Right.
And we have thousands of volunteers that participate in trail building projects from, like, all over the state. We actually, in the whole National Park Service, last year we ranked number 5 for our volunteer hours. So you're talking Yellowstone, Glacier, all these giant parks, and here's the Ice Age Trail ranking number 5 with the number of volunteer hours devoted to maintaining and building the trail.
That's impressive.
That's pretty cool.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
Take that, National Parks. We gotcha.
Yeah.
Melissa, you said...
It's a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say that you're a part of that, you know, that you've gone to a trail building. I mean, how many people know how to build a trail, you know, let alone, I think it's really cool. The trail will be here for, you know, decades and generations to come. And you can say, hey, I built that segment. I was at that project. So I think it's cool.
Well, one of the things you spoke about earlier was the connecting of the trail to all the miles. So you get 1,000 miles and then it's broken up over the next 500. Is there a time frame, like in the next 5-10 years, to connect it all? 2 years? Is that something you have to receive funding for from the state? Like, is there a goal by 2030 the entire trail will be connected?
You know, we'd love to have that goal. I think based on the rate of property protection, right? So the first step in putting trail down is to protect the property for the trail to be on, and the Alliance has been making great property great progress in the past few years acquiring property. We have, you know, willing landowners that will either donate or sell property to us. And I think there was a calculation that, you know, at the current rate, it'd be something like 100 years before we had all the property protected. But, you know, there's always hope that, you know, things kind of kick in from maybe the state level or, you know, national level. If we can, you know, get more money to purchase property, you know, things could speed up. But then the more property we protect, then we have to build the trail, and that takes funding. So, it'll be a while, but, you know, we hope sooner rather than later. We hope it's not going to take 100 years.
Melissa Pierick is our guest. She's the Director of Marketing and Communications, Community Relations, rather, for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And you mentioned, Melissa, that people from all over the state have volunteered to help make these trails possible. How can people get involved if they would like to find out more about the Alliance?
So, yeah, you can go to our website, which is iceagetrail.org, and there's a link about volunteering. And, you know, the Alliance is broken up into 19 different chapters throughout the state. And pretty much a chapter will be in charge of one or two counties. So, like, we have the Waukesha-Milwaukee chapter, you know, out where you guys are, and they maintain the segments of trail in that area. So we have 19 of those chapters. You can, you know, participate at the local level, or you can just sign up to be part of the larger scale events that the Alliance organizes. And we have one project a month from here through the end of October, actually. And we go all over the state on these projects. So it's, it's a neat thing. When you go to these large scale events, there's camping involved, there's cookouts, you know, all kinds of fun. You work really hard and you do really cool things, and then you meet this great group of people, and you socialize, and you just have a really a fun weekend.
And then you sleep really good.
Yeah. Right. If you like sleeping in a tent, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, some of those volunteers that are hardcore, they have, you know, the trailers that are all decked out, and yeah, they make it a home away from home, that's for sure. So it's, yeah, it's really cool. And if anybody is just mildly interested, I would suggest, yeah, go to iceagetrail.org, look at our event calendar, or click on the link to volunteer. Or you can always call our office, too. We're happy to answer questions.
It's right in our backyard, everybody.
It's a fun thing to be involved in.
Yep, it's right in our backyard, yep, the Ice Age Trail. Melissa Pierick, the Director of Marketing and Communication and Community Relations for the Ice Age Trail Alliance. It's been so much fun, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy hiking.
Sure. To you too.
Thank you very much.
We need to talk about doing a hike in fall.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he says with a great enthusiasm.
You guys can sign up for the Mammoth Hike Challenge.
Ooh.
You can do it as a pair. That would be fun.
We'll check it.
Challenge. You get a patch when you complete it.
Melissa, we're losing your signal. I can't hear you anymore. I'm sorry. I can't.
Melissa Pierick, thank you so very much for joining us. Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. Headline grab bag. Some things in the news that you may have missed. That's all coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball fans, Brewers hosting the Pirates tonight. Game starts at 6:35. You can listen to the game on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center. That's 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And then Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM for baseball action tonight. Brewers hosting the Pirates. The game starts at 6:35. Before we went to the news, we were talking about the Ice Age Trail with Melissa Pierick from the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And Callan, you said that you have been on a portion of the Ice Age Trail.
Oh, yeah. So I'm from a small town called Eagle, where the Old World, Wisconsin is. And the Ice Age Trail runs right through there. I was on the cross-country team for 2 years, and yeah, we used to run practices out on the trails.
Is it really beautiful?
It's really pretty. I was more thinking about how I felt like I was going to die from the run.
But see, now you can do the Ice Age Trail, and you can walk. No pressure to run the whole thing.
Yes, it's probably definitely more enjoyable.
I'm not a runner, obviously, but they always look like they're having so much fun.
I love it. I have my family's from like Eagle, Genesee Depot, all that area. So whenever I hear Eagle, I just think of the Eagles Day Parade and fun times there. But now I'll just think about Calvin being like, why didn't I just join the Literature Society or the History Club? I run too much for this.
Different strokes. Lynn from Oconomowoc also texting in because we were talking about past possible elk attacks when you're on the Ice Age Trail, which don't happen. But we were talking about raccoons getting after your food. Lynn says, what about skunks? Every time we would grill out, a skunk would come over and spray it when we wouldn't let it in for dinner. Never thought about that.
Neither have I.
Never thought about that. As promised, we are going to do a round of what we're calling headline grab bag. Things in the news that sometimes get missed because other things come up that just take more priorities. Some of these are silly things. Mm-hmm. Some are not silly things. But we haven't talked about Gold Bar Bob in a while.
Gold Bar Bob.
Gold Bar Bob. Gold Bar Bob Menendez, Former Democrat from New Jersey, of course, accused of taking bribes from three businessmen in order to work on behalf of the Egyptian government. This after a small little raid at his home found hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, just stuffed in jackets and pockets. And then there a whole bunch of gold bars. Don't we all have gold bars just hidden around the house?
Is that why we call him Gold Bar Bob?
Gold Bar Bob.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and there was a little problem, unfortunately, with the gold bars because he claimed that his wife inherited this.
Oh, yeah.
And then they checked the serial numbers. Whoopsie doodles, as you say, Greg. They match the guys who are accused of bribing him to do work on behalf of the Egyptian government.
And didn't he or his family come out and say something to the effect of, my family has a history of hiding gold and cash.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Jane, we all have traditions. Your dad may have read you the same book that you're going to read your nieces and nephews. And my dad, taught me how to hunt and fish. Some people just, have different family traditions. If you just open your mind. I love the fact that, Gold Bar Bob was a proud Democrat until Democrats were like, you better step down. Now he's like, I'm an independent.
Yeah, now I'm an independent, and it's all going to be good. Yes, gold bars, over $480,000 in cash, and a Mercedes-Benz discovered during the FBI raid. And, of course, the government maintains that these are all bribes that were paid to Gold Bar Bob in order to get him to work on behalf of their clients, the Egyptian government.
Well, thank you to the Supreme Court. Now, they're not bribes. It's gratuity.
That's right.
It's all a tip.
It's just a tip.
It's just a tip.
Well, the trial looks like it's getting ready to conclude. As you mentioned, Gold Bar Bob pretty much maintains that, yeah, we've always hidden money in gold bars. And $480,000, that's a lot of cash.
Really? Because to me, cash and gold, like that scenario is very movie-esque. It sounds like a movie. And I would think it would be like, $5 million in cash and gold. I'm not gonna lie. When I heard like 480 grand, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Yeah, that would be awfully unwieldy.
Yeah, but we're also talking about a guy who hides cash and gold. Anything is possible.
It's true.
With Gold Bar Bob, who also doesn't realize that gold is stamped with a traceable number.
Yeah, there's that. It's those little details, Greg. It's those little details.
My wife did it. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, it's a family tradition. Does that one work? Cool.
We'll see how this ends up, and we will keep you in the loop as the trial of Gold Bar Bob Menendez comes to a close. We talked about this a number of months ago.
Yeah.
There's bad behavior on both sides of the political aisle, and I think it's important that we recognize that.
No, absolutely, and we need to call it out, and we will call it out. I don't like this kind of stuff, but I will say the liberals, when the liberals act out, it's always like, like when the Republicans are doing stuff, you're like, oh no, we are doomed. They're making backdoor deals and doing what they're doing at the RNC right now. But like, the Democrats are like, I hid a bunch of gold in my house because I saw, I don't know. I just feel like the stuff that Democrats get busted for is never as high level as what Republicans are trying to pull off.
Grift is grift.
Grift is a grift. Well, I don't know. I feel like someone grifted harder than the other in this one.
$480,000 in cash. That's not a bad grift.
I would definitely pay off my house.
Shoot, I could grift for less than that. We're going to do an offers. Another breaking story this morning on the other side of the political spectrum. A federal judge appointed by Donald Trump in Alaska resigned yesterday after some pretty disturbing details came out about U.S. District Judge Joshua Kindred. So not only did he have inappropriate sexual relationships with a law clerk that he wasn't supposed to do, then he lied about it. They've also concluded after investigation, his misconduct was pervasive and abusive, constituting sexual harassment, fostering a hostile work environment that took a toll on multiple clerks. Some of the details include Judge Kindred had no hesitation in using inappropriate language, like encouraging his employees to rate their fellow employees on their effability.
Oh, God.
This is a U.S. district judge. appointed by Donald Trump.
That's disgusting.
He told employees, some of his colleagues, he is not ho-ignorant. He also told stories about sexual favors given to him in a hot tub. In the few instances where clerks went to Judge Kindred to talk about this behavior, they were either belittled, ostracized, and in one instance, a clerk left.
You know, honestly, in today's day and age, this kind of goes back to what I was just talking about. He's a judge appointed by Donald Trump. I'm surprised he stepped down. I'm surprised he didn't just say,
yep, I did it.
I did it. So what? Deal with it.
What's your problem?
Yeah, don't you love America?
The whole fact that you would ask people within your office to rate their coworkers on their sexual desirability blows my mind.
I'm going to step out on a limb here, Jane, and say that he said this to his male coworkers about he didn't walk up to female coworkers like, hey,
what do you think
hey
about Bob?
Sarah, you think Ted's good in the sack? Huh? Huh? No.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that is pretty disgusting. And, you know, these are people that are supposed to be the honorable.
Yep.
The honorable mm-hmm. judge.
Yep.
What the hell is honorable about that? And, you know, the problem is a lot of women that I know that support Trump and all his appointees, they will just say, that's not a big deal. And that's what just disturbs me, especially the women.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter say yesterday, there are a lot of people who hate women, and a lot of them are women.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a disturbing reality to have to accept. I don't understand how you can condone that kind of behavior from anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a Democrat
yep.
or an independent or a Republican. That's not acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
And especially to be placed in a position of power like this. It's shocking, Cindy, isn't it?
It's just really sad. And I'm telling you, it's such an... All these scars on our society, I just don't get it anymore. What has happened to honor and you know, people caring about what things look like and reputations? None of that seems to matter anymore. What has happened to us as a society?
Well, you know, Cindy, one of the things that we've talked about in the past, and I don't want to say that outcomes dictate honor, but one of the things that you thought to yourself, at least I thought growing up, is like, you want to be honorful person. You want to be a good person. Because the people who act in the opposite, there will come consequences. There are no longer consequences for
bad behavior
for the upper class.
Yep.
We can get in trouble for things. You and I can go to jail for not showing up for a subpoena at a courthouse. But a congressman can say, no, I'm not going to do it. And they get off scot-free. A judge can get away with this for a very long time and get it. I'm going to tell you this, right? The judge was forced to resign, too. He probably did not want to resign or thought, what's the big deal?
Oh, yeah.
So I think one of the big things to answer your question, Cindy, is that there's a lack of consequences in our society for a great many people. So therefore, they don't have to act with honor because there are no repercussions for what they do. And anything they do, get solved by money, pay a fine, make an apology, wink to the camera when you do it. But we don't remember those people. They come back and they run for office. They get a new job. They charm us back, charm back into life. The lack of consequences is probably one of the scariest things, I think, in this society.
And I think too, Cindy, I think it's the lack of shame.
Yeah.
The complete lack of shame in some instance. Yep, I did that. I grabbed her by the whatever. Yep. Yep. I did it.
Yeah.
And I have no problems with it.
I'm voting for a felon. So what? He's my president.
He's my felon.
He's my felon.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate you calling and always appreciate you listening. You can always join us if you want to check in. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We are doing a headline grab bag. Headlines on the news that you might have missed. This is good news.
What?
Switching gears a little bit.
Whoa.
Amtrak's new line from Milwaukee to the Twin Cities, a month old. It's already had 18,500 riders in 11 days. It's turned a profit.
Boom, baby!
The first full month of the Borealis trains between St. Paul and Chicago shows ridership of over 18,000 passengers. That's about 300 people boarding each of the eastbound and westbound trains every day.
First of all, I love the name of that, the Borealis.
That's good.
Space. Also, And I don't, I love this story. I love, I cannot wait to take this train to Minneapolis or to St. Paul, because that's where the station is.
Right.
But I want to take that train. But it does, it's a bittersweet story for me, because it makes me think to myself, by this point, we could have been about a dozen years into high speed rail in this state. But instead, our effervescent, lovely and valuable Scott Walker of a governor decided on day two of his kingdom, turned down the money, $850 million, and said, no, we don't want it. And then said, I said no to the Obama administration. Well, you also said goodbye to jobs, businesses, more jobs, and security. And
but he gave us Foxconn, Greg.
You're right. What am I thinking, Jane?
Scott Walker brought us Foxconn.
But congratulations to Amtrak. Congratulations to the Borealis. And I'm so excited about this. This is wonderful news.
Hey, coach fares, $41 each way between St. Paul and Chicago for adults. Discounts for children, 2 to 12. There's discounts for students, seniors, veterans, military personnel. You can find out more. There is a new website. It's Amtrak.com/Borealis. So go ride the train.
Absolutely. I mean, $41, that's a tank of gas.
Coming up, a couple more headlines in the news you might have missed. It's a headline grab bag. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the... Words are hard.
I don't disagree.
The Civic Media Radio Network. See.
Thanks, Sherry.
More than one way to skin a cat, you know.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Give us a call, send in a text, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And just a reminder, this coming Saturday, if you're in the Waukesha area, 60-mile radius, say. 60-mile radius around Waukesha. If you're in the area Saturday, from 8 until noon, I will be at the Waukesha Farmers Market.
Jane, at that farmers market, what can people do?
They can come up and say hello.
Ooh.
They can register for a bicycle. We have two chairs. We can sit down and have a nice, long chat without the confines of commercial breaks.
And I believe I've heard the offers of a scone and some coffee.
I'll buy you a cup of coffee. Play your cards right. I'll buy you a maple and bacon scone.
That if will I probably, like the cut we'll, of your jib.
Will probably change the course of your entire life. But no, I mean that very sincerely. If you want to chat, if you have questions, if you don't like me, come on down and tell me why.
Or tell me why. Here's another thing people can do. I would love to see this happen too when they go. Come to the Civic Media tent. Talk to Jane. And let's go on myvote.wi.gov and check out your information.
Yeah, we'll have that too.
We'll have a tablet there.
Yep.
We can see where your voting place is, your polling place is. We can see if you are registered. We can find out that information together.
And talk about making a plan.
Exactly.
For August 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important primary that a certain section of people are pretty much hoping you don't hear about and won't care about. Which kind of tells you that you should really care about this.
Yeah.
So there are two constitutional amendments on the August 13th primary ballot. Vote no. Well, and make a plan to vote. And we talked about this with Pat Kreitlow a little bit, and we got a really nice compliment from someone listening in Madison on the text line who said Pat is a great guest, and he is.
Oh, absolutely.
He's fantastic. He's very knowledgeable. He was a legislator. Mm-hmm. For a number of years. And so he's had some, that's like Todd Alba, who also worked within the state capitol. And you just get a much different perspective from folks who've done it firsthand.
And Something I just realized too, we've been talking about the primary in August and we've been saying the date, but I really haven't been listening to that because I'm planning on early voting. The primary part of the primary election in August is on the 13th. That is the second Tuesday. A lot of people think, oh,
first Tuesday
of the month. I vote this day. If they hear primary, they're like, oh, I'll vote next week. It's the first. Or do not miss it. Know that this is the second Tuesday of August. Make sure you know that if you're voting in person on the day, it's not the first Tuesday, it's the second Tuesday.
MyVote.wi.gov. We're going to keep repeating this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And Sue from Franklin says, can we come to the farmer's market if we like you?
No. Only my enemies shall share scones.
Only the haters are welcome. Absolutely. Come down and say hello. That's the whole point of being out there and having a chance to meet people and chat with people and give treats to your dogs.
Ooh.
We have dog treats at the Civic Media tent.
I have a dog.
They have too many people for her.
Yeah, she would get scared.
And for the most part, people who do bring their dogs to the farmer's market, they're all so well behaved.
Yeah.
They really are, but that is not for every dog. It's really important that people keep that in mind.
Yeah, she doesn't get like crazy scared. She just gets observant. She's like, what's going on here?
Well, there's just so much activity, and if they're not used to that can cut. And then they get a little defensive, and that's when they might get a little bitey. So just make sure your dog is prepared for that. All right, one more story. Headlines in the news that you may have missed. Subway riders in Boston have a new way to make their commute fun. They have now put googly eyes on some of the trains in Boston. If you saw the movie Everywhere, Everything Everywhere All at Once, googly eyes that you can stick on styrofoam things and creatures, that was a big part of that movie. And they thought it would make people laugh. And so they actually convinced Boston Transit to let them use googly eyes decals to lighten things up.
I personally think there should have been no convincing. It should have been, we want to do this. And the mayor was like, now, do it now.
Make it so, number one.
Yeah.
Make it so.
Massachusetts, I love
that. Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority GM and CEO Philip Eng says a small group of people who he described as transit enthusiasts approached the agency with the unusual request to install googly eyes on trains. They even dropped off a package of plastic googly eyes at the MBTA's headquarters in Boston. When I saw it, it made me laugh. I thought we could do something like this to have some fun.
You're going to have to use some super duper glue because the moment one of those eyes comes off, that's going to be horrifying for a child to see.
Instead of plastic googly eyes, over concerns that they could come loose and fly off hurting someone standing there, they instead went with decals. Giving a jaunty facial expression to the train. So unlike real googly eyes, these won't move.
Oh, okay.
But it's a safety issue.
True. Andrew in Maine said googly eyes make everything better. And he also said, can I come to the farmer's market even if we aren't farmers?
You come on down, Andrew.
That's right.
Absolutely. No, I mean it. Come out. It's nice. And the farmer's market is fantastic.
Yeah.
Every kind of vegetable you are looking for is in the most beautiful fresh cut flowers. They have great food. Great coffee, great scones. I will be down there this Saturday from 8 to noon with our helper, David, who does a really great job with setup and teardown. So if you can, come out and say hi this Saturday, 8 to noon, Waukesha Farmers Market, right along the river in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank. Coming up after the 12 o'clock news, no one knows where he's going to be.
When,
our friend
in
the world is Todd Alba. No one is exactly sure where Todd Alba is broadcasting from today. It could be on a duck. It could be on a duck in Wisconsin Dells.
It could be right behind you.
He could be right behind you. So listen for Todd. I can't wait to find out where he is. He's on the road all this week. Trigvi Olson, I believe, is joining him live tomorrow. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor for the Lincoln Project. So stick around for the wonderful Todd Alba from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you to Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all to all of you for texting and calling, and for listening. I mean it. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.